everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Heretic Hammer Podcast. I am your host, Marshall, and this is my co-host, Dylan.
Hello, hello.
And today, we're doing a bit of a challenge. We've talked sometimes about customizing our armies the way we wish to. So today, I thought it would be a really fun kind of mishmashy quick exercise to we together are going to design and build a custom Space Marine chapter.
Oh.
So we're going to go down the list of kind of like baseline things. Honestly, I'm going to be real transparent. This is the most of this is from the list of ways or how you can put your custom Space Marine chapter onto the Warhammer 40K fandom website.
Okay, this is like a how to draw anime book they would pick up at like a Joe Williams or something.
But it hits. Rest in peace. It hits everything though that you need it to. Right, it hits the main points, especially for making a video like this, where we're not gonna suddenly make, you know, all of the former chapter masters that once existed and other heroes
just
all within like an hour and a half or so. I mean, or even potentially, hopefully not two. So
we're probably,
you know,
not gonna make the crayon eaters.
No,
you know, we'll try to do our
own. I mean, somebody made that. Yeah, we gotta. I mean, we can be semi-derivative, you know, or like, you know, if we can be inspired by other media and whatnot, but we should.
I mean, that's how Blizzard did it.
I mean, that's how Warhammer 40K did it. Dude, we could do an entire episode of all the things that they got inspired by from Doom, or not?
Yeah,
not Doom. Dune.
Should have been Doom. We'll save that for.
Well, June, you know, maybe Doom some parts of Doom. Yeah, true, right?
We'll do a tie-in.
Yeah, where do we see all the Warhammer 40K references?
They're going to
man
going
in
back
power
to
armor.
Dark Ages, though.
Yeah, man in power armor uses sword and shield for some reason.
Yep, there you go. But that's not what we're doing today.
Correct. So we're going to start off. We're going to kind of go this list, just kind of down a list. So, you know, I think one of the kind of basic places to start, right, is kind of what is this chapter's parent legion slash, you know, where does our gene seed come from, you know? And some of this will maybe change then where our founding is, right? Like, because, for example, while there are maybe some purists that would say otherwise, there's definitely been some allusion to the fact that Belisarius Call, in creating a number of the Primaris founding chapters, you know, might have maybe accidentally or on purpose, we don't know, slipped in some traitorous Primarch gene seed into a couple of chapters.
What?
Yeah, that's obviously hugely conjecture and theory, but there have been chapters where like people have kind of pointed out, like, are we sure this isn't like World Eater's gene seed? Because this is really close. So we are not. So some regard, we can kind of have. We could technically have it through the many of them, but I wanted you to somewhat be more knowledgeable on some of the loyal legions, somewhat in mind, just because I felt like that might end up being kind of like maybe where we go.
Yeah,
but is there like a certain Primarch that you think that like we should kind of base these off of from the front? Because I have two thoughts, but I want to know if maybe you have an idea kind of in the chamber.
I mean, it depends on what our specific goal is for this chapter. What exactly it is that we want them to be fully loyal? Like, do you want them that to embody the idea of like a loyal chapter?
Or yes.
Do we want them to be a little spicy? You know.
Well, now spiciness is a little bit in the eye of the beholder, but this will, in the end,
there's no beholders still be.
This will, in the end, still be a totally loyalist chapter, right? They will, okay, by the time we're done with this and we maybe come up with like a baseline, they are still going to be loyal to the Imperium and the Emperor through and through, and, you know, fight for the good of mankind. Not the greater good, but the good of mankind. Mm-hmm. So from that, you know, like, I think, you know, some of the ways that you could think about it is maybe like, what is there, was like, from the kind of parent legions, was there maybe some Primarchs that you kind of had like certain personality traits that maybe you attached to, or, you know, were there certain tactics in some of them, or is there just a Primarch themselves that you're kind of attached to?
I got a couple. I don't think they're the ones that you would be expecting from me. I would say first and foremost, wild as it may seem, I was looking at Jagatai Khan and the White Scars.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Caught you a little off guard with that one, huh?
Maybe not as much as you think, but we'll go on.
Okay. And then I was also looking at the Salamanders.
Mm-hmm.
That might have even been first just because I was looking at them earlier. But yeah, the right. Salamanders I was looking at a lot. Just the ones... Really, it's the ones where, like, the chapter, the Primarch for that chapter had a very clear goal. They had something that they were trying to do, and then they disappeared in the process of committing to that goal. And the chapter didn't just, like, fall apart. Like, it's continued on even without that Primarch being there.
Which is funny, because in that, with that, I mean, if you were to say that, a lot of people would be, like, space wolves. Because they almost better when their Primarch disappeared.
Yeah, Space Wolves would be a good one too, definitely.
But so I was... Was that all of them, by the way?
Those were the main ones that I was thinking of. Yeah.
So I kind of came into this, I was like, I kind of want to do something either White Scars or Raven Guard.
Yeah, Raven Guard would be cool too.
Because my thought, kind of knowing us a little bit, was that we would kind of like stuff that's maybe like vehicles.
Yes. You know? And with the White Scars, if you recall, if everybody recalls all the way back when we did sort of talk more about the White Scars, I was super into their vehicles.
Yeah,
with the Ravens too, all the stuff they did with flight, that was really cool also. Man. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that makes sense.
The Outrider bikes, I feel like,
they're so cool.
That's the thing, yeah. Like, because there's a not small, like, group of people that really don't like the design of the Outrider bikes. And honestly, like, I can kind of understand why there's maybe a distaste for it. But, like, I don't know. I like the kind of big, chunky ATV motorcycle look. It just kind of is cool to me.
I do, too. I think they're really cool.
And, I mean, like, I always... The Raven Wing, I mean, this is obviously Dark Angels, but, like...
But it's got more of that, like, chopper look to it as well.
Yeah, and, like... I mean, if you want like the chopper design, I mean, that would be the Chaos Bikers, who have a very choppery design. Which,
yes,
maybe I am a little bit slightly less so on the Chaos Bikers,
sure,
versus the Outriders, who have like a very the Outrider bikes to me kind of do read like heavily industrial Akira bike, you know, like,
yes, the very pronounced fenders that cover like a lot more of the wheels.
Mm-hmm.
The wheels are a lot more obscured, that it definitely lends itself more to that like retro sci-fi type look.
but like still very like, yeah, like, but still hitting that very industrial, like,
yes, yeah, boxy, I say retro sci-fi because it's design. Hitting that, it's hitting that like 80s, you know, sort of design ethos for like the quote unquote like distant future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, I don't know, do we want to just go White Scars, kind of to one that we both had a thought on?
It's because it's the one we both had a thought on. I feel like that's probably where we should go. It was my first pick.
All right. Yeah. I mean, like, I definitely like, cause I think I just had the thought of like something that could be like really cool with it. So from that, then we can kind of decide, like, do we want this to specifically then just be like a very new chapter where it's just Primaris founding? Or would we want them to kind of have like a Firstborn presence where they'd have like maybe a little bit extra history and maybe they would have things that would be more greatly affected by vicariously through the Cicatrix Maledictum forming?
Is there like an inherent benefit to doing one or the other?
With the
or even disadvantages?
Because we're at least in a scenario now where we are working on it, or we're going based on the White Scars. It's probably a little bit less so. I would say our main thing would be the number, which we haven't talked about a crazy amount, would be we wouldn't have to necessarily worry about trying to figure out, maybe if we like thought of this down the line, like how did then maybe that crossing of the Rubicon go, right? Because some chapters were and maybe still are kind of hesitant to it. I might be misremembering this offhand, but I believe a lot of the members of, I wanted to say the Black Templars, but something about it doesn't feel right. Shoot, yeah, I can't think of it. But there are a couple of chapters that, yeah, been a little bit more hesitant, despite especially the kind of very clear greater power that it has given. But that was, so that inherently could be somewhere, right? Like, where maybe did that go, right? Like, where, at what point maybe did they kind of get a little bit, or did they have to grow to accept it, or that it became more accepted? Then similarly with that, you know, that could go into realms where like maybe they have a much older ancient, right? So like maybe if they were closer to like the sixth founding, you know, kind of a random one, you know. Okay, so here, like for the 11th founding, for example, or the 10th, 11th, and 12th founding specifically. So these three foundings have one thing in common: they occurred during the Nova Terra Interregnum. I don't know if I said that right. A time of extreme unrest and civil conflict in the Imperium, when the Ur-Council of Nova Terra declared independence from the rule of the High Lord of Terra and took the whole Segmentum Pacificus with them. So what can you expect from a chapter created during these foundings? You can expect them to be battle-hardened. In addition to being founded during a period rife with civil conflict, it was said that the Imperium founded these chapters out of a need to stabilize its borders. Thus, chapters of these foundings have a good chance of being posted in or near volatile, dangerous areas that the Imperium felt they needed more firepower. Otherwise, let's see, I was going to say, I think we definitely can't, should not do, I don't know, maybe we could. Actually, maybe we could. So there's the 21st founding, which is one of the kind of what like a dark founding where, so this specific founding saw a large number of chapters that found themselves more greatly plagued by their gene seed flaws. So to note this, so they believed that their understanding of genetics would allow them to make better chapters, and so tempered with the blessed gene seed of the Astartes. Turns out they were dead wrong. An overwhelming portion of the chapters created during this founding developed drastic mutations. Those that didn't often suffered great calamity and misfortune. When everything was said and done, a good portion of this founding was either disbanded or purged. In the eyes of the rest of the Imperium, the Mechanicus, and their hubris, tried to improve upon the Emperor's design and rejiggered things. I love that they put that in there. Things that they had no business jiggering. Man, whoever wrote this, good on you. Within the first place,
just smack him with the wrench, get the heater going again.
Yeah. So thus the Emperor cursed this whole batch of Marines, thus the name Cursed Founding.
Okay, so maybe we don't do the Cursed Founding. Maybe we stay away from that.
If we wanted to have like bad something luck. If we wanted something that kind of set them to be like very, because there are some chapters in this that are still around. The Black Dragons are, as far as I know, still around. They are a little bit, you know, they're under the eye of the Inquisition pretty frequently, because they're the chapter, I think we talked about it, where they have like the retractable like dragon bone stabbers and out of their forearms. They're like one poker Wolverine.
Baraka, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, exactly. That's actually better. Yeah, Baraka. Otherwise, and then they also have the Lamenters, who are very loyal, which at some point we definitely need to talk about them, but they have literally the worst luck imaginable. It feels like
saying something considering the universe that we have been talking about.
Yeah, it's somehow for some reason. I don't know if they're cursed by Gene Seed. They're just cursed to have the worst possible luck that this universe could possibly give them. Right, like so, chapters who are founded within the Primaris, they're definitely going to be twofold. Right, they're going to be somewhat young and inexperienced. They're not going to have the history and knowledge of the universe that any of the other chapters are going to have that came before them, right? I mean, because especially given that they pretty much forget their entire life before they become a space marine, you know, they obviously, depending on some chapters, but like for the most part, most space marines are kind of lost to the life that they had previously. So, you know, there are then those that may then not truly understand how the Cicatrix Maledictum came to be, right? And not fully grasp how that happened. And I say some because others obviously may very well, maybe some because you were born into it, are given way more information like you should hate chaos even more because this happened. Right, you exist because we have to fix that, you know. So there's two realms you could kind of go in that, but like especially the inexperience is one of the biggest thing that always shines through on Ultima founding Astartes, is that they don't have that lifelong experience. So maybe in certain Xenos they fail, they falter to, you know, they never seen the Necrons before, it's not in their records, and then all of a sudden here they are. So that's the type of thing that kind of makes it maybe a little bit tougher to look into that.
It's tougher, but it does kind of also make it a little interesting having that kind of uncertainty to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm definitely not against maybe some of the tougher foundings, but I think for now, if we wanted to, we can just decide, do we want them to have Firstborn or Primaris? And then from that, maybe we could decide if we wanted to be like a more strifing, have more aspects with their gene flaw to come in. I kind of may have to double check here in a moment what Jagatai's gene flaw was, or at least has shown to be. But otherwise, you know, moving forward. But that's kind of we would start, right? Is this, do they have Firstborn Marines? Or are we only Primaris?
I like the idea of a clean slate.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a totally new chapter.
I like that because I think it's a lot of, I think it's one of those things that really, I think it's forgotten in a number of stories, is that thing of like, you know, oh, they have, you know, like, it's like, yes, in record, we have faced these before. We have done this, where it's just like, you know, there's not likely a Primaris or an Ultima founding chapter that's even gone into the Death Watch potentially yet. Or at least maybe like they're literally just getting into the Death Watch, you know. So not many that there's likely not to be any that maybe may or may not even have returned, right, from their first service into the Death Watch. So like that's a big thing where like, I think you can really kind of show maybe sometimes it's like one of those things where it's like the reminder story of like, hey, you like you want to know why that experience that like the Ultramarines have matters, right? Because it's really easy to look at an Ultramarines and be like, wow, those losers, they're so good at everything. And it's like, yeah, do you want to remember what how they've why they're good at this stuff? It's because they've got experience. Here's a story about how this chapter got their ass beat by the Necrons. I mean, honestly, when there's a day that we talk about some of the like lost chapters, that will be a common thing is the this chapter died because they thought they could take on a Tomb World. The answer is they were wrong. So, yeah, I like that. I think we could do that for sure.
Yeah, let's do new.
All right, we'll do so. We'll have only Primaris founding. I'm gonna have a thing for that actually, and in a when we get to some of the design stuff later. But I want to. I kind of think it might make for something that'll be fun for like a point of contention when we get to the second part of that.
Okay.
So now though, we can decide if we wanted them to remain Codex compliant or not. Because obviously, like, it may seem weird, right, for something that's a White Scars chapter to not be Codex compliant. But it wouldn't be the first time, right? Like, for example, the Black Templars are founded based off of the Imperial Fists, who are Codex compliant, but the Black Templars are not.
Right. This is where I was talking before about, like, getting a little spicy with it. If we maybe wanted to have them be, because especially with it being like a new chapter, I'm thinking about like what's motivating them to 100% adhere to the Codex in the first place.
Yeah, I think the tough part about that with Primaris is that you're kind of founded off of the, you're kind of founded off the Codex, right?
Yeah.
So it's like you, it's like, well, what else can you be but Codex compliant almost, right? Like that's where I kind of wonder where, like, what is drawing them to it. My kind of answer to that was like, probably if anything, it's just because they're coming in a time where, well, no, actually I take that back. I'm gonna take back everything I was about to say.
Okay.
Because it has been heavily implied that Gilliman kind of regrets the Codex Astartes. He doesn't regret everything about it. He just maybe kind of realized maybe some things were a little much, you know, like maybe it wasn't necessarily the, like, I think maybe some of the things were right at the time, but maybe shouldn't have been held to stone. You know?
Yeah.
And so we could maybe look at it where maybe with this chapter, maybe they decided that they were going to, because I mean, being Codex compliant can literally just be that they have way more bikes, right, than a normal chapter does. So by that regard, we could absolutely just be like, maybe this is one of the chapters where Gilliman wanted to be like, let's experiment a little bit.
Yeah, it's not about like completely upending the ethos of the Codex in the first place. It's more so just like, where can we find these tiny little places to sort of stretch the limbs out a bit more?
And I think there are at least a number of Codex compliant chapters that do so. But I think there are probably ways that we could stretch it further to make it clear that it's non-compliant, you know?
Yeah.
Sweet. All right. So, okay, we're kind of beginning to reach into this next point. But that's going to be like, what is kind of the special tactics that we kind of want them to utilize? And this can be maybe a couple things, right? We don't have to just be like one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I kind of had the thought, this is maybe my a little bit of my Eldari brain kind of floating here. But obviously, other than the vehicles, right? I thought maybe a mix of vehicles and long range snipers. Thoughts?
Agreed. I was going to say, I was like, the vehicle thing is almost a given at this point because it's obviously something that really attracted us to the White Scars in the first place. But also, the weaponry should accommodate that type of mobility. It should definitely be long ranged, and like sniper in particular makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, well, because my thought is like you have your front line, right, is all kind of, it's just like this slew of vehicles like ATVs, bikes, I mean, even like kind of jet speeders, like flyers,
warthogs, banshees.
But you know, kind of like in Halo, actually, there's always those people in the back by the point with the sniper rifle, and they're looking, they're ready to pop any of the infantry that tries to sneak through and get around the vehicles.
Right.
So it's like it's almost like some of the vehicles can almost kind of like round up and wrangle the enemies, and then they just get like pot shotted by the long range the long range capable units.
Yeah, I'm down for it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because I think
absolutely down for it,
and thus I think maybe as a part of that, it's kind of in a similar thing, but then probably, I mean, so like I was gonna say, so we're definitely kind of going into like different types of assault tactics. So they probably not only use like a good number of assault marines, but this would be then like also probably like a semi-decent number of jump pack units. Because like assault marines are very, they're kind of just like intercessors, but they, most of them only have a bolt pistol. I think some of them can use a bolt gun because they're space marines. Mm-hmm. But then also have, but then, you know, obviously run at them with chain swords or power weapons.
Yeah, that would work.
So then next up, we should kind of look into some of the like colors and like design of this chapter. Now, because what is very true, especially if Space Marine 2 has taught you anything, it's that successor chapters can truly be whatever color you want them to be.
Okay, so we're getting into the actual colors now themselves.
Yeah, well, and some of the like, you know, like emblem design, filigree. What do we kind of like want there? We're going to get a lot more now and kind of into
important,
some of the
important like identity. We got to establish, I feel like, off the rip. It's got to be like the first thing. We're basing this off of the White Scars, but do we want our base color to be white as well? Or do we want to go for something else?
I don't know. I kind of feel like we could go for something else, you know?
How funky do we want to get with it? Is there precedence? Hear me out, everybody that's been into Warhammer for longer than I have. Is there precedence for gradient coloring on Space Marine armor?
Not in lore, but that doesn't mean people haven't done it. But because usually most designs end up getting, so like people have done it in their own paint jobs.
Was there anything in the codex that was like, thou shalt not have a gradient,
no,
like magenta, think, that fades into like a periwinkle blue or anything like that?
No, I think the number one reason the GW just hasn't been one to press on that is because, sure, I think partly it's just that they kind of, it's a lot easier to sell paint jobs and like tutorials and people on the hobby when by default you keep all of your named things relatively simple paint jobs. Like, for example,
yeah, just a solid color. Yeah.
Not even that, but just like, even if it's like, for example, like one of the, like if you go into, if you're in Space Marine 2, right, you can change the pattern options for some of the colors. And so like you can have it where it's like, you know, the chest plate of your Space Marine goes straight down the middle.
Oh, and, okay.
You know, that's obviously like a thing where it's just like, you know, like that's something where it's like, that's a clear line though, right? It's a lot easier to maybe like teach somebody, you know, go halfway down the torso and then paint one half one color and one half the other color. It might be best to be a little, maybe have some solidness, but here, let's do this actually. Let's boot up. Let me actually get up. I kind of had it ready, but like we'll actually do it for real. Let's get into the Space Marine 2 creator.
Yeah, that's a good place to.
Yeah. Okay. Let's look at. So I grabbed a. This is just because I flunk around the thing. I actually started it on a White Scar Marine. I might hate myself for this later, but I feel like we did. I feel like we might have done ourselves a disservice to not start by talking about maybe some of the like the origin aspects.
Okay.
Because maybe that will influence our color choices. Right. If we do think we about the to, home,
so that's the like home the, of these the home world. Like we need to work out the home world first, maybe, and the home planet and that.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think we should think about that, because the first thing that we can decide, right, do we want them to be a fleet-based or a planet-based chapter?
I like the idea. Something happened. Yeah, I was just going to say, I like the idea that they were from a planet and then something happened to that planet.
Yeah.
That interests me.
Yeah, I think that makes it fun, and I think it adds to the culture of mobility. Because their world is mobile, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
So let's maybe think about what was the home world. So like, honestly, we're Primaris founding. So we wouldn't want it to be strictly, you know, because it destroyed because of the Cicatrix, because the world would technically have been there at the start. Of the founding of this chapter, they will only exist in some, like, mainly, you know, their chief existence will only be in Imperium. I think it's Primus, obviously inside the warp tear, you know.
Yeah.
So not being cut off, not being in Imperium Nihilus, which I guess would have been the other portion of what could have been our story, would have been like if they were non-Primaris founding, we could have them dealing with things on the other side of the break, which I didn't really make mention of. But I think we're fine to live still in the normal Imperium, because there's still shit that goes wrong.
Yeah.
And worlds have still been lost on this side of the Imperium. So we could have them be close to the Cicatrix Maledictum, where they were founded to be part of that kind of wall of defense to that kind of outer rim of planets that are just around, you know, where the tear is. So consistent besiege from the forces of chaos. Or do we want them to have their ass kicked by some form of Xenos?
I was thinking about Xenos initially.
Yeah.
But I don't know which Xenos I have in mind for that.
I think it'd be really fun, because I don't think they get used as often. So we could go two routes. We could go the very kind of White Scarsy route, and somehow through, you know, certain whatever aspects. They got just demolished by Drukhari, because the ancient enemy of the White Scars is the Drukhari.
Right. Yep.
Hence, Jagatai is fucking just,
I'll chase you to the ends of the earth.
Yeah, just running into the webway. But my other thought was it would be really cool and or I think it'd just be really fun, if anything, to do that it could be the Necrons. We didn't know it was a tomb world.
Ooh.
So it just became about escape. And like one day we will reclaim that planet.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not, I mean, it could be inherently, it's not out of the question for it to like have been exterminatist either. But we could also leave it open where it's like, we will regain our planet. That's like the number one goal they have, you know? So what do you think? Do you think, because like the Drukhari thing could work for some of the mobility things, because because that's kind of how the Drukhari work, right? They're either, they have hypermobile units, and then they have a bunch of long range, especially with their scourges.
Yeah.
But then the Necrons would just be kind of like that fun thing, because it's a little bit more realistic that a whole planet be taken by them. Or at least I should say, like, maybe a little bit more expected.
Yeah, how easily could the Drukhari just take over a planet like that?
I mean, they would, if they often did it, it would be through some form of, they would have kind of gotten in, and then what they would have done was then kind of destroyed the population of the planet whilst the Marines were away, right? So it would have been a thing where, like, since the founding of the chapter, the Drukhari hounded this planet like crazy. Like it was a mix of getting just bashed in by chaos from the Cicatrix Maledictum. And then all of a sudden, when there was a break from that, the Drukhari would then show up and just try to take people, you know, and just raid.
Right.
So then all of, you know, and then maybe what happened was like, we were called to war. You know, we were called to help, to assist brothers in this segment. But because our chapter was so small, that meant that we were so small that most of our fleet had to go assist.
Okay.
And those that were left were not enough for them, like the Drukhari deciding this is our moment and launching a crazy sized raid.
Seize the opportunity, yeah.
Yeah. Because the chapter was pretty much gone, save for, you know, a few dozen units.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because otherwise obviously the tomb world is just like, bro, they woke up.
Yeah. It was just E-Day. It was just a matter of time.
We are not at the size of a chapter to take on an entire tomb world by ourselves.
Yeah.
Just no way. But both give us a mortal enemy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But are you still thinking kind of the Drukhari one?
I'm still thinking Drukhari on this.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. I think that'd be that's a very fitting White Scarsy. Like it's, you know, it really upholds homage to our father.
Yeah.
Our distant father. The thing. So then, because some of this we should kind of get into some of the, what do we think maybe the world could have been like? You know, do we think that maybe this was like more, this was a very like, maybe before we were founded, was this an agri world that we were kind of set to defend? Was, you know, was it a hive world? Was it a shrine world? So very like filled with like churches and essentially almost like hive cities centered around a cathedral.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
So like we'd have, if it were to be like a shrine world, right? I feel like that would kind of set us to be very like kind of set to like being, you know, like a little bit like having that close relationship with the emperor kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a strong motivation for like why we want to take it back in the first place.
Right. Well, I would say maybe in some respect, because like with the Drukhari one, if it was like all the people are gone, I think it might be one of those where like it ends up being like maybe we return to it. But otherwise, for now, we are just a fleet based chapter and just roaming around.
Mm.
Because like the thing is, Drukhari take and leave. Right. So like if they just decided they're going to cause us a great pain by just destroying everyone on this planet, then we just kind of decided like there's nothing left for us here, time to pack up, put my backpack on, new homes out in the world.
Yeah.
Or in the universe. Yeah. No, they don't really live in any, they don't like live in these settled or like real space worlds. They just kind of like, they essentially just kind of like come in and out through Kimora in the Webway, you know?
Okay.
So it's kind of more just like that they would have somehow like, it would be a scenario where like they would have rendered it where like the going back to the world was just not worth it anymore. So we still exist as a chapter, but that world has been rendered like worthless essentially to the Imperium.
Okay. We had to move on.
That would be the more way that it would work if it was the Drukhari. All
right. I don't want to lose the Drukhari on this. I do want to keep.
Yeah. And I think it's fine to do that. Rival. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's fine to do that. But I think it then with that thing we can kind of get to is like maybe via that, maybe it didn't have a lot of people. So maybe it was something like more like an aggro world, like an aggro world that maybe like lost its like night house or something like that. And they were like, this is a really important aggro world. We want to use, and this is right next to the Cicatrix Maledictum, though. So we want to make sure that this is protected. And then, you know, 40K things happened. And then yeah. They're like, because there's only, when there's only like six people on the, obviously it's more than that. But like, you know what I mean? By like, compared to a hive world, the Drukhari are way more willing to maybe be like, hey, you know what? We don't like you. So we're just going to take all of your people this time.
Yeah.
You guys are all gone and we'll burn your crop. What is it? They're going to burn our crops. Oh, what is it?
Oh, the SpongeBob meme.
Yeah.
And poisoned our water supply.
Oh, yeah. And put a plague onto our houses. He did?
No, but are we going to wait around until he does? Yeah.
Well, our answer is yes. Yes, they did. Yes, they absolutely did.
We'll make it a definitive answer and say yes.
For our scenario, it's yes. They did. From that, then, I would say, I think then that's where our kind of vehicle thing could come from, right? Like, we had a lot of open space. So, like, moving across the planet became very important. And then being able to then move in to quickly go to quick defenses was then thus just as important.
Yeah.
So with that, I'm kind of curious because maybe I was trying to think like maybe something we could kind of think of, right? Is like something where like maybe like our identity kind of is similar to that of like protective farm animals, kind of like that. Or like I was because initially I was maybe thinking when we were going into our tactics at first, I was like, maybe we can work because we're like quick and precise. So my thought was like cheetah, you know, like some type of bird or owl.
Yeah. You know what? If we're talking, because a lot of birds, there's not a lot of like particularly protective birds so much as they are more so predatory.
Yeah.
But an owl, something like a barn owl.
A barn owl.
A barn owl makes sense. Yeah, I think they are called. I mean, they've got a bunch of different names. That's the other interesting thing about barn owls in general is that like you can go all the way back to like their Latin names where it was literally just like this is a white owl. And then there's also a bunch of other names that they've gotten throughout history.
Right, because obviously this like, you know, they were church owl. Yeah, it's like because they would just go into abandoned places.
I found our source. I found our source. Owl brand discovery kits. We love barn owls because they are important allies to farmers. They are natural pest control. Farmers often face the challenge of rodents destroying their crops.
Yes, they specifically get mice and rats.
Yep. Our pests were the Drukhari and Chaos.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That's they serve a similar purpose as to like a barn cat, where it's like the farmers want them to stick around because they are a natural predator to a lot of those smaller like rodent animals that would like affect their crops directly.
Yeah.
And also a deterrent to other birds of prey, which is like why people put up fake owls to deter, you know, like hawks or falcons and things like that. It's what we do for our chicken coop back home, is we have a fake owl set up to deter hawks from showing up.
Ooh. Yeah, all right.
We can cook with this barn owl thing.
Yeah, we really can. I like this. So we've got a world. So it's the world is a. So we'll do agri world, right? You know, so that way there wasn't as many people. So it being destroyed was even more devastating. You know, so like mobile for like, you know, obviously for distance and coverage. Now I think we can kind of take that step back then. So we've got some of our iconography leading into that barn owl aesthetic. Now, while there may not be the prominent barn owl icon in Space Marine 2, once again, we can do what we want in that regard. So let's not worry about that. I'll just do this for that sake. So, but yes. Okay. So we're going to have this very like, so kind of our identity, I think we can work on is this barn owl thing. So do we want to have that kind of, I mean, we could kind of do that like mix of brown, because we could do even more with just like doing like segmentive design, like color design. Right. I mean, like, cause like
we could,
barn owls are fairly light brown, you know?
Yes, I think a lot of people look at, like, obviously you look at them and you're like, oh, it's a white owl. And I mean, that's carried on in the etymology. But yeah, there's absolutely it's not a dark brown, but there's like a light brown feathering to them as well.
Man, I wonder, does GW have a paint that matches this concept? Granted, this isn't the entire GW paint range either. I can think of a very specific color that I use on my sister that is in this game either. So, but over here, like, so we could kind of start with this Retributor armor, but then, so like if we get into say like the helmet, one of the things you can do is like this. So then you've got this, like, and we could like have like a very like, I don't know what color eyes do barn owls have. Are they like black? Which makes sense for most owls, especially like I imagine they're similarly nocturnal, like many owls are. So could do that. We could do black.
I would be down for black. Black could be cool.
Kind of like this, where you go. So like, yeah, and then we could do like, but like we could do this like white face here.
Yes.
No, that's different.
Yeah, we should do black because barn owls, people's being like completely black anyways.
So, but yeah, I was going to say we could like add to that. So we could still have our like maybe like just the chest is white.
Ooh.
Here,
chest white and the appendages are.
Trying to see what some of the other like whitish ones are. Yeah, they're like pure white. This like the white scar makes, I think, sense here. But yeah, so yeah, you kind of get this.
Yeah.
You know, and again, like we could do. I mean, we kind of like really futz with some of the stuff. So like we could kind of play with maybe how we want, like where we want, like maybe some of the arm parts to go. So like while these are brown, maybe like certain portions of this.
Yeah. It could be white. We could alternate
or one of the things we could do is we could do something where like we could create where part of their paint scheme has like, somewhere on it is like essentially like what maybe they like keep as like a mark of shame.
Oh,
so like maybe they use like, for example, like I'm not saying we commit to this, but like for example, like a red hand where it's like this is the, you know,
this is the blood of those that they had failed, or like, or in like the, and like the world that was destroyed.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, or even just even something like black, or you know, even something like black. It's a thought. It doesn't have to definitely be definitely doesn't have to be kept for sure, but it's just a thought, mm-hmm. like something we could think into. But I mean, otherwise, yeah, I mean, we could kind of, we could determine maybe how we want to flavor this. Where else do we think is a good spot to put some of like the white?
I was thinking about if we want to do, cause on, I got to look up more Barno images here. I'm trying to look at where the brown is located in relation to
very much like the back and wings.
Yes. Yeah. Top of the head, on the wings.
Yeah. There's not as many images from Barn Owl from the back. Oh, I just had a really bad thought. I'm not going to make mention of it.
Hey, we probably had the same bad thought and I'm also not going to say anything.
There's some black in it though.
That, yeah. Cause there's like a spotted pattern to the wings.
Yeah.
With a little bit of black in there. Yeah.
Let's see. I wonder, I mean, that's something that could definitely be done on like a real paint job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you maybe put like, you sponge black on like the arms and torso. Unfortunately, you don't get a great usage of that here. That's something you could do on like a real model. You could like sponge paint black like on this and the backpack.
Mm-hmm.
But we could do it maybe like, yeah, so we could make like maybe the greaves white.
Yeah, make the greaves white, and then,
and we don't have to like perfectly mirror a barn owl. It just, we can have
we don't have to, but yeah.
It's a thought. This is just at least the thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can have the flame pattern. Ooh. Thoughts on.
I like that. Yeah.
It's just a fun, that's like, cool shift with the coloring.
Yep.
Because obviously, yes, the whole of like the body, the owl, barn owl torso is the white going into feet. But
yes,
you know, again, more just trying to get into that realm of like, We kind of have somewhat of our baseline color concept. Now we just want like, now it's about making it feel cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, do we want maybe to do some of that, something like that kind of mark of shame thing? I mean, that could even go to the point
if
where
we
maybe it's
do,
like an icon.
I like the idea. Yeah, it could either be an icon or having it be like one of the legs, but it's not like a new color being painted on. It's the existing color like fading over time. Like there hasn't been any upkeep done on it.
Got it. So it'd be, I mean, not to necessarily, maybe not to necessarily do it, but like something like kind of like in this realm where like,
yeah,
it's getting into that realm where it's like getting into its just pure like steel look.
Yeah, it's reverting back to just like that solid steel look, yeah, instead of being painted.
I don't know, there's something weird to me about it just being like the torso though, or not the torso, like the thigh.
Yeah, but no, I, like I would the think concept. More so I would think more so lower leg if we were to do something.
Oh, the like the more this part.
Yes,
got it. Yeah, maybe it kind of sits better where it's kind of that realm of like, this is, yeah, what's going
on. And this is where it, you know, if I was like painting an actual model, this is where I would reintroduce that gradient concept.
Yeah.
So it would be a gradual fading.
Yeah. I think you can also do that too. Portion. You could probably also do that a lot, even with some of the sponge painting similarly, kind of like what we're saying with the black.
Mm-hmm.
I was just kind of experimenting with how it looked on the hand. I like the leg though. Yeah, I like the leg.
Yeah.
My leg. It's old.
But that's a cool concept where it's just like, yeah, it's like because we have abandoned that world to now decay, this part of our armor will similarly be left.
Yeah, these left feet that unkept. Once stood on that planet are now beginning to decay.
And this is also your like partial sign for how long you have served is how long, how faded this is.
Yeah, totally.
So like if it's pure white, you know, it's you're fresh. Mm-hmm. But if you have, if it is, because like the rest of this, we'll have it maybe like the rest of this does kind of get maybe kept up a little bit. But that's, it's to draw the attention to the fact that this is going away.
Yes.
That's cool. I like that. I like this. This is a cool like starting point or like kind of sick. Like, yeah, like base design. And then like from like, this would be like a very basic look to it. And then like you could add more like stuff to it. Like for example, here, let me put this in here. Let me put this in the universal one. Cause then like sailor, something like this, like with an assault marine, you know, and then it's like, then you could do like the other shit could have like other stuff in it. Right. Where it's like,
yeah.
You know, like these just have all these different realms and like color designs and all that. Like that could be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's very cool looking with all the, like the filigree on it.
Yes.
Which that partly is kind of a question though, right? Like what would be kind of some of the filigree concept, you know? And I'm definitely going to kind of utilize the assault marine here because it's the one I have the most unlocked for. So you can kind of futz with it a little bit. Oh, but then it has like for like an icon, like a chapter icon. I think like like the face of like a barn owl with like a weapon behind it. But like what would be like the weapon to put behind it?
Probably something long distance to match what the we have them using.
I was gonna say, I just know because like I don't think it's like it's not crazy common that they put like a gun on these. Sometimes it'll be like it's something obviously like esoteric, like a lightning bolt of, you know, book, whatever, the Ultramarines logo. Mm-hmm. But you know, wings, skulls, all that.
I was gonna say, because I know you, I know you're not gonna be able to do it within the editor here, but yeah, like the idea of like a white, of like an owl that has multiple pairs of wings.
Why multiple pairs? I'm curious. Just a thought.
Because usually we think of owls as like a solitary predator that hunts alone, and that would signify that like having multiple pairs of wings as if it is multiple owls that hunt together instead.
Mm-hmm.
Or like just go full acid trip with it, like a three-headed owl or something crazy.
That would feel kind of like we're
just like go full metal t-shirt with it.
That would feel a little bit like we're secretly an Alpha Legion.
Oh yeah, that's true, with the Hydra.
I kind of had the thought that maybe be like something kind of like, I like how this is, where there is kind of like the owl but with like a scythe or something behind it. Very farming, you know.
Yes, because that is the original usage of the scythe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of a thought I did have.
Yes, the falcons.
Yeah, so like I guess I mean, I don't know. I like the idea of the multi-winged owl. I mean, we could kind of combine the two still. Nothing stops us from combining the two.
Mm-hmm.
Having a multi-winged owl with the scythes behind it.
Nothing will stop us.
Okay, let's do that.
Nothing will stand in our way.
Yeah, so let's see. Like, what are some of the types of filigree we would want? Like, would we want maybe anything kind of this just looks like mad eyebrows?
Ooh. Yes, I was gonna stop you right there. I was like, bro, eyebrows. the pronounced brow of the owl.
I was gonna say. So here's gonna be my thing. Beaky helmets.
I'm down. It feels obvious, but also, yeah, of course. Like, it makes sense. Look,
both the White Scars and the Raven Guard make heavy use of beaky helmets, even to this day.
Yeah, it tracks. Yeah. It tracks.
And I just love beaky helmets. They're my favorite. I can't not make a fucking like Space Marine thing like mine without it being some like a thing where there are a number of them have beak helmets.
You can even though sit it's, here even and though give it's
Mark
me,
6.
You can like, sit here and give care. Me lore after lore after lore reason for like why the beaky helmets would apply, or you can just speak the truth, which is that you like the beaky helmets yeah, a lot.
Exactly.
Just speak your truth.
Okay, so we'll do beak helmets with
yes.
This is more Laurel, but we would say I think for ours we would do like feathered.
Yeah.
Like yeah, like do we want them to have like a robe thing? Should they have the anime scarf, you know?
I do love me an anime scarf. I am a big Strider Hear You fan.
Yeah, I mean, same brothers. The sniper didn't have anything like that, did they? No.
No, it's more so a
this cloak. Is the closest you get.
Yeah.
This is definitely the closest you get to that. Yeah, like this one's kind of close because it's like mm-hmm. these two are because it's kind of got that scarfiness. This one is a little bit more like cloaky looking though.
Yeah.
Where it's got this like, it's not as much over the shoulders. And this doesn't have to be every one of them either. But this could be like, you know, snipers use heavy scarf, camellia line cloak. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, so we got this like very like avian and then caped or scarfed aesthetic. Okay, all right. So now let's we'll get now into the final touches here. I think at this point, let's come up with a name. While we could just pull the primo GW move of putting Barn Owl into an English to Latin translator. I feel like we maybe should think about it a little bit more.
Hear me out though. We don't, what if instead we put it into an English to Welsh translator?
Play them at their own game.
Yeah. They'll never see it coming. Unless Tichian they've been in Wen. Any D&D campaign with me in the past 7 years.
I think Tichian Wen sounds a little funky.
Well, you know, go tell the Welsh that. I'm sure they'll take it well.
Let's see.
Time to get more creative.
And Grant, we could be very English. I mean, the Iron Hands are the Iron Hands.
So. Yes. No, it's true. We could be as blunt as the White Owls, you know, but... Are there barns in Warhammer 40K?
I mean, in our Egger worlds, yes, technically.
Yeah. No, yeah, there's...
Okay, I tried searching owls on a gigantic list on Lexiconum for owls, and there is not a one.
All right, while you do that, I'm going to type barn owl into the Wu-Tang name generator and see
what we get. Okay, baby, I don't know about that.
Listen, that's how Donald Glover got the name Childish Gambino, and it worked out really well for him. So I don't see why it can't work out well for us too.
Did he put Donald Glover into it?
And I don't think he put his name. I think he just randomly generated it.
I mean, it could be like bronze owls.
I got to make sure I get the
official. We have a lot of like a bronzy kind of color.
Yeah, so you got to enter in your name in order to generate it. So if you if we start with Barn Owl as our seed, not our gene seed, as we start as I got, I got.
Oh dear.
Artist excessive.
Okay.
Which honestly, true, relatable.
I mean, great
spitting facts.
Great artist name.
Yeah.
But Space Marine chapter, don't know. We could do Let's something though, like bronze owls.
Bronze owls would be cool. Because the actual paint job is a little more on the bronze side as well, that brown.
Yeah. I mean, that's if you especially made it very metallic-y. You could go pretty matte if you wanted.
Yeah. Bronze owls would be sick. I think it would work a lot better than Iron Toad Crazy.
I think so.
I think your suggestion far better than what the Wu-Tang generator is giving me right now.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I was going to say, I think we can go pretty solid on it. It matches the like naming convention of white scars, right?
Yes.
Bronze
owls. Yeah, white scars, bronze owls. Yes.
All right.
So we should go with that. And then our listeners at home, feel free to submit any fan art of the Iron Toad Crazy chapter if you've got any made.
I mean, I feel like that's just the Iron Warriors that...
It could be.
That just got more into chaos experimentation. All right. Are there any rivals? Like, especially, like, maybe... We know the Drukhari, but, like, maybe...
The Drukhari.
Yeah. But, like, were we plagued by a specific chaos warband? And, I mean, hell, we could reserve this. We could leave it open. And then maybe when one day we make our own chaos warband, we make them their rivals. I think that's technically a faux pas in the Space Marine fanfic community, but
if it's a faux pas, let's do it. Remember, I'm new to all this. If you tell me don't press that button or don't eat that apple from that tree, I'm about to eat the apple.
I was saying, which so, I feel like I'm always ready to start a fight about these things too. So
if we're talking about fan fiction, what are you doing putting rules in front of me? What are you doing?
Because this is
knocking 40K. On my door and being like, you know, technically that's kind of a faux pas. It's fan fiction.
True. But this is also like part of the fun about doing this in 40K is not that part, like you creating your own warband to be the rivals to your Imperial faction. But I mean more the following some of the rules is useful because it lets us have a grounded, you know, unlike the bad fan fictions that we have read plenty of, it at least actually feels like a plausible thing to read. So do we want to do that? Do we want to hold off on the Chaos faction till we make one?
Yes, I want to hold off on it so that we can make our own in the future, and it can be led by Gerard Way.
Any specific friends that you think maybe we could have? That, like, I mean, like, there's a lot of chapters out there, so it could be hard, but, like, maybe you could describe, like, what's the type of Space Marine chapter that would be a good ally?
Do we want them to be, since we're basing them off of the White Scars, do we want them to be familiar with them?
I mean, sure. Yeah, I think that could be the case.
I'd be down for that.
There could be, so that could be a thing though, where maybe, I don't exactly remember how the White Scars feel about Primaris successors, but I do wonder maybe if because we failed our planet, that while we are allied with them, we always have a sense of guilt.
Yes. It makes the motorcycle meetups really awkward.
Well, it's just that realm where it's just like in the back of your mind, you're always kind of like, you know, I don't know if I'll live up to them kind of thing. Like the big brother,
for sure.
Little brother, big brother syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He can hoop and I can't. Yeah.
All right. So
the pressure's on.
One of the final things we definitely need to get to is specifically any of the defects. So
yes.
One that is generally denoted to stem from genetics that were tainted genetics from the Tregoris tribesmen. There have been a common number, like mutations has been a common thing, which could vary. These don't have to be huge or these can be smaller. Mm-hmm. Some would maybe reckon that it could be good literary wise to maybe have some form of detraction from it. I will note, like, White Scar is known to be stable. Let's see. Yeah. So they're the wild savagery and thirst for war. Let's see. I'm trying to see about if there truly is. It seems like a big thing though is just the ferocity. So, like, how much does ferocity, but I think, yeah, I mean, I wonder if there is technically, one of the things I was thinking of, like, maybe they have a mutation that gives them like a greater sense of night vision. I was trying to see if that's something I was thinking, I'm pretty sure there's something that Space Marines normally have, and it's just they essentially have low light vision. Indeed. Yeah, I mean, as we have learned, though, I would note from the cursed founding, right? There is no technical sense that there cannot be a random mutation to any Space Marine chapter. But it's one that I feel should be small if so that it would be potentially undetectable to the Inquisition. Because I feel like since the Cursed Founding, they were like, we are absolutely keeping a lockdown on this shit. Maybe we do kind of a thing where it's almost kind of like a, maybe it's kind of like a black ragey kind of thing. Oh, maybe at night they end up with if they battle at night, they tend to feel that savagery more. Like if they are battling in the darkness. I guess they're in the darkness, right?
Oh, sure.
Like they feel uninhibited in the darkness, and thus they let loose.
Okay. Yeah, we could do that.
Well, and even then it's still as noticeable. Like most Inquisitors wouldn't look at that gene suit flaw as like, oh shit, we have a problem.
Yeah.
All right. Then let's think of let's drum up just kind of quickly. Cause this episode needs to end. let's drum up like a chapter master. So, like, what would we expect him to be like? Demeanor. Let's think of it. Like, what would his demeanor be like?
Quiet, not oft spoken, like man of few words.
Yeah, I think that's very fitting, especially in a lot of things. White Scarzy, right? That thought of that belief of like your actions will show you, not the words you say. So they don't boast, you know?
Right. Right.
And then, yeah, I would say similarly, maybe they definitely are like a bike unit person. I feel like if they're going to be the chapter master, you got to be part of like that grand identity of the chapter, which is the bikes, right?
Yeah.
Like we were really pushing the bikes from the start.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think we got to hold to that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think he like is, you know, good, makes use of some good melee. It was funny. I had a thought. You know, I was going to make a note earlier. I kind of forgot about it. I had a thought about using just taking a small, like if we were going to do this, this White Scars kind of point that maybe they had kind of found / maybe modeled themselves to use kind of that like or kind of model themselves around like the Cataphractes style armor, which is this.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
I just had a thought. I was gonna say, because then like White Scars used to have a special unique Terminator unit.
Oh, okay.
And like, which means that if they are White Scars, like if they are a special White Scars Terminator, that means they're a fast Terminator.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is fucking scary to think about. I don't know how much you could utilize that in a modern 40K. Because like so much of that has been lost since the Heresy. But like I always think about that realm of like, you know, the point of when they split them from chapters was that they were like going to try to like keep this stuff. And Call is like trying to bring back things from the Heresy, right? So there's Neo-Volkite weapons, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like maybe he was like, I'm going to experiment. And I found some of these shits laying around.
We'll start
Eben Keshig Terminators. I just thought like this could be good. These could be a cool plating style. Little samurai, but like I thought it was just like a cool type of plating. I also love Cataphracti Terminator armor.
Yeah.
I think Cataphracti armor is really cool. But yeah, I thought that could be like a fun, maybe that could be like the type of armor he wears because he's like, you know, the special guy.
Yeah, I'd be down for that. It would really make him stand out compared to the other members of the chapter too.
Yeah, because it's like a relic, you know. So like only only the chapter master wears it. Thus, you know, you have to become chapter master to wear it.
Yeah.
I think like something like that could be cool with like having like a special design to him.
Let's do it. Let's do it that way.
So yeah, he's kind of quiet. He, you know, he does utilize the bike, but he's able to do so in like a relic cataphracty Terminator armor. So he's probably got like a special bike, you know, that'd be a fun 3D print project. I guess, does he like use a special, do we think, because like he's on the bike. So I feel like he should have like a special like melee weapon. Do you think something kind of like what the Ebon Terminators had, where it's kind of these like, almost these kind of like partisan kind of things, or should just be like a fancy sword, do you think?
Something with a long reach, I think, would be cool.
Okay, so we can do something partisan like that.
Claw shaped.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, he could just have long lightning claws.
That would be cool. Yes.
The thing that GW seems to be trying to get rid of in this freaking game, which makes me sad every time. That would be good. Yeah. Lightning claw. Like he just uses like these lightning claws. So he just kind of drives by just like, and he can do it from either end. You know, it's just when he retracts and extends them. And that works for Terminator armor. It's a common thing to have in Terminators.
Yeah.
All right. I like it. What should his name be?
His name is going to be.
We don't have to. I think it would probably not be good to have it with Khan in it. I think that's mainly just a very White Scars.
I agree. Thing. Yeah, he's not that connected. But that's why it should be.
Oh no!
As recommended by the Wu-Tang name generator.
Oh God!
it can only be. I need absolute silence for this. That includes everyone in the audience at home. I need you all to hold your breath. The name of this important pivotal figure in our chapter needs to be Tiger Fist Mad Mad. In case anyone didn't hear it, Tiger Fist Mad Mad.
I think a no on that one.
Well, I tried, you know. I really did.
I know you did. You know, and I feel for you.
And the Wu-Tang name generator, it didn't. So we're gonna close that out. We could do.
What's like a culture? Like, what's like a what's what is a?
There's
is
a lot of them.
What is it? No. So what's like a? What is like a? What do we think is a good like real world culture to base some of their life on? Because it doesn't just have to be the Mongolian part, right? Because while our gene seed has that Jagatai Khan aspect into it, which is obviously very Mongolian based from his home world.
What other cultures are we familiar with like a nomadic history to them?
Oh, a nomadic history. I mean, I don't know how nomadic. Like Eastern Europeans were.
Yeah, because I was thinking of like, I'm going to mispronounce this. For everyone at home, I apologize. I'm going to mispronounce this. The Sami or the Sami people that came from like Northern Norway, or were at least like indigenous to Northern Norway. It's kind of like the first thing that comes to mind for me.
Let's see, Sami, yeah?
Yeah, S-A-M-I.
That could be fun. So we could go with like then like a name that's kind of like Norwegian.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Ooh. Elf Carl, because Carl is utilized as a masculine name meaning free man.
Ooh, yeah.
But we could to remove the masculine part of that, be like, yeah, forget that. Free man.
Yeah, free man.
And then I had Alf because it seemed cool.
Rise and shine, free man.
Good God. Oh, man. I mean, that are like
Bore, B-O-R-R-E.
Ooh, that's good too.
Or Ivanid. Or Ivind. You know, Ivar, Ingar, Hein.
Ivar Bore.
Magnus.
Nah.
Lothar. That one's a little close.
Yeah.
What do you think? What are some of those?
We want something that has a little bit of meaning to it, that is also not potentially offensive to Norwegian culture in any way.
Correct.
And also is not like a super like well known or like obvious, like quote unquote, like Norse name.
Yeah, I mean, Elf is very like, it's obviously based on Elf.
Yes.
Which would be a fun irony.
I think that's cool. Honestly, I really like that.
You could go Alf Carl.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like the a Sami culture could be cool. Yeah, like very good, like I'm that cool would fit that. Like a farming culture and stuff like that. All right, we've got our chapter master, Alf Carl, a quiet man, a few words, has a special bike unit where he is a melee specialist with his long lightning claws and the only member of the chapter to hold a relic cataphracty arm terminator armor. I like it.
Yes.
I'm into it. And thus now we have the bronze owls originally hailing. Oh, we don't have a name for our homeworld. You know, this is more of a thing where
Pluto 2.
It's not the reason this would have been named this at some point, but now it because GW does this all the time, where like a planet is named something that's more befitting to its current state rather than the state it was originally founded in.
Okay. All right. I have a proposition. I'm thinking I want it to be really simple. 2 to 3 syllables at the most. What about Nora?
Nora?
Nora.
Yeah. That could work. Okay.
It means honor.
Yeah, I think that works. All right. So we have the bronze owls who originally hail from the world of Nora, an agri world that was constantly harassed by chaos and Drukhari. This world had fallen. Due to the chapter being most of the chapter being taken away to assist in an engagement with another imperial conflict. Upon returning, the world was not only ransacked but effectively destroyed by the Drukhari, and with no people or crops left to recruit from, this chapter then ended up going and becoming a fleet-based chapter and recruiting from different worlds in order to fill out their ranks when needed.
Yep.
They are distinctly designed with a bronze kind of retributory blue brown kind of back on arms and shoulder piece with white in the face and chest and kind of black spots a bit to cover around the bronze pieces, especially along the back. However, they are also denoted by a right greave that always will fade over time. Their banner is a barn owl face with multiple wings and a scythe behind it. And they are well denoted by their many beak helmets and feathered eyebrows, quote unquote. And their snipers often utilize a heavy scarf chameleon cloak. They are obviously, as I alluded to, they are founded from the White Scars and are a Ultima founding chapter. They technically are non-codex compliant, but do not necessarily like ruffle the feathers of those who maybe would try to defeat this. But part of this was in a realm of Call and Gilliman going into maybe a little bit of a type of experimentation with their vehicles. Otherwise,
they do specifically love to utilize vehicles and assault jump pack and rangers, as they love that mix of using vehicles to kind of rally and then long range to pick off. Otherwise, they are led by Alf Carl, a quiet man of few words, with his special relic cataphracty armor and long lightning claws. He also has a special bike that he utilizes to lead into battle. That's pretty sick.
That sounds like a Warhammer to me.
That sounds like a Warhammer to me. All right. That was fun. I loved kind of doing this little theory crafting session with you.
Yeah, that was sick.
I mean, this is a lot of times how my brain works whenever I'm thinking of like building my own army. So mm-hmm. It's just kind of like a fun way to think of these things. And, you know, a good Loyalist Space Marine chapter is always a good baseline to do it off of.
Yeah.
I may not exactly do Alf Carl, but I think I may well try to, before this episode airs, maybe try to paint up an example model for this episode.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, I think that could be a good go about. But all right, otherwise, next week we're going to do a semi part two, if you will. We are going to go right from that Dark Mechanicum. We're going to go into the Demon Engines.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you were excited about it. I felt like we got it. We should go right into it.
Yes.
Not to tease you further. But all right. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you, and also for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.